Man, what a time. I want to title this lesson tonight, Overcoming Fear. And then I thought, well, what an applicable lesson for this. I want to start with read from 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Also 1 John 4 and 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. It seems like one of the most troubling spirits that we must overcome in our day today is the spirit of fear. Paul warns Timothy and he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but here's what he's given us: of power and of love and a sound mind. To fully understand, let's look and see what fear means. In all of the scriptures that you can pull up, there are different variations of almost every one of them. And so fear here is to be timid. And it comes from a root word that means also timid. It means dread, and it means faithless and fearful. So now compare. Paul said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit, he has given us of power and of love and a sound mind. What does that word power mean? Anybody like to voice an opinion of what that word power means? Strength, okay, all right. Anybody else like to give a reply to that? whenever you look at power, almost every time in the scripture it lists it as not just power or strength, but miraculous power is what it lists it at. And so miraculous power, and by implication, a miracle itself. So God has given us power. The force, where does that power come from? Anybody? Well, we used to sing a song, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Oh, isn't that cool? Our power comes from Jesus. Our power comes with our ability to be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. And so that power comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us strength. In fact, you'll find that in the New Testament several times. So he's given us a power and of love and a sound mind. He's given us love, affection, benevolence, love. remember what the scripture gives, and even I recall an old song that says that love covers a multitude of sins. And so love, not just love for one another, but the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, the love of God that goes in front of us. And so then I want you to notice sound mind, what it is defined as. Now, I will first off disagree with Brother Matt. Where is Brother Matt? Is he out there? Hopefully he can hear me. But he was laughing and thinking that I was lacking of a sound mind. Because I had him help me set up some posts yesterday, and I was using the drill, the cordless drill, and there he is. All right, Brother Matt, be sure and listen to this. And so he claimed that I did not have a sound mind simply because I was using the cordless and the screw wasn't going anywhere. And I finally looked up at him and I said, oh, I've got it on reverse. And he thought that was the funniest thing that it ever was. And I said, you wouldn't have even known if I hadn't told you. He said, yeah, I was looking at it. I was thinking, how am I going to tell him that he's not got that thing on forward? And so, you know, but I mean, we all have senior moments, don't we? Even if you're only like 18. And so, but a sound mind, what really is that? You know, what do you think when you think of a sound mind? Anybody? Y'all are scared, aren't you? Thinking straight, okay. Okay, all right. Those are all good things, but that's not what it means according to Strong's Concordance. Sound mind means discipline and self-control. Now, I'm sure it means a lot of other things and probably those things that you mentioned. But think about it like this: discipline, self-control. What is the greatest attribute of a child of God? Discipline, self-control, is it not? Isn't it part of our living for God, part of our looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our help and our hope and buying in to living a disciplined life and serving for the Lord, living for the Lord and rejecting certain things that are lustful and rejecting certain things that the flesh loves, that we reject those things simply because of discipline and self-control. And so notice this, the Lord has given us miraculous power, love of God, and discipline and self-control. Now, this is not saying that this is all comes from us. Man, you know, I've just noticed this one, and I've just noticed that Brother Sam, man, he's got a good quality of discipline, you know, and you know, all of us have strengths, and all of us have weaknesses. But when we understand that when we come to the Lord, when we give our life to the Lord gives us a power of discipline to overcome the enemy, to walk in truth. And so the second scripture I read tells us this. It says, perfect love casts out fear. And so fear here is defined just a little bit different than the other one that I read. It's defined as alarm, as fright, to be afraid, terror, and phobias. Anybody have any phobias? All right. Spiders. Okay. Okay. All right. I don't believe that for one minute. That's just not the truth, Brother Jeff. isn't it strange that he jumps up there and puts that deal on and sails up into the sky blue, but yet don't want to get to the edge of something? It just does not make sense to me. Does it you? Am I missing something here, Sister Debbie? Well, okay. All right. And so, phobias. Let's get back to that. Phobias. Now, all of these that were mentioned are probably not demonic, except maybe the spiders. No, I'm just teasing. These are not demonic things, these phobias. But isn't it strange how that you know we're afflicted with certain things and so but when we begin to look at this, it's important to note that Paul talks about where fear really comes from. Now, We all have a measure of fear, and I'll talk about that just a little bit later on in this lesson. But as far as phobias, that almost everyone here probably has some sort of something that, but it is not developed into something that is just crazed, fear crazed, that suddenly you just lose all sight of anything. And you know, I don't have a fear phobia of spiders, Sister Lindsay, but I do not like them. I'm kind of got that Western hint about me that all good spiders are dead spiders. And so if I see one, he gets mashed. I'm not very kind and forgiving. And so, but notice what Paul talks about, where the spirit of fear comes from, or where fear comes from. He says it's a spirit. He talks about the spirit of fear. It's a harmful spirit, a demonic spirit. Now, I mentioned to you I was going to talk a little bit more about this. Now, in our makeup, there are certain traits that God has placed within us that we often refer to as fear. We have a fear of certain things, and I mentioned one time in preaching, and Sister Debbie laughed because I said, me no want to touch the fire, you know. And, you know, just became an Indian, you know, for a little bit. But we have certain fears that are born within us that are not really, would not really be considered fear, but they would more than anything else be probably called caution. It would often refer to fear as maybe a watchfulness, a carefulness, being careful and being watchful and making sure that it is not something that we want to do. You know, at an early age, we're trained to fear certain things, and that's not really saying that it's fear. It's just we are learned caution. We are learned carefulness. We learn that if you burn your hand, for instance, you know, by putting it over a fire doesn't draw the pain out. I say that firsthand because I years ago I burned my hand, and one of my good brothers told me that the secret was is you had to hold it over flame, and that would kind of pull that burn out of there, that pain out of there. Well, at 6 years old, you know, you'll grasp about for anything except when it starts hurting more. And so I guess that one really doesn't work. But raw fear, God has not ordained raw fear for us to be fearful. So how do we combat this spirit? And think about that. How do we combat the spirit of fear? And then what are modern day spirits of fear that we need to be aware of? And the first on the list is the new spread of virus that's going around. Coronavirus. Anybody think of any kind of fears that maybe we need to be aware of? Any kind of fears that maybe that you battle? I know I don't want to just, you know, open it up to say, let's change that. Not what you battle, that your friend or somebody other than you battles, because that makes it a little bit different, you know. But you know, I've told you that I've always had a fear, and I've had several dreams, and I wake up and I'm preaching in my underwear, and I mean that's, you know, I'm thinking, why didn't you wear a shirt? Why didn't you just put on a pair of pants? And as I'm up there, and I mean, folks, I'm telling you this, I've had this dozens of times. this dream. It's a reoccurring nightmare. And so, you know, I'm totally embarrassed, and I'm thinking, how did I get up? What did I do? Why did I do this? And so, you know, there's certain fears, and I guess I need to go to a psychiatrist and figure out what's really wrong. But any fears that you can think in modern day things that we face, the struggles of life that we face, what would be a major fear to? Okay, of the unknown, that you don't know, that you're not aware of. And I think that is true with all of us, because I believe statistics say that 90% of things that you worry about never even happen. And so then the other 10% there's all sorts of breakdowns on that. So, but fear of the unknown, any other fears? Okay. Yes. Loss of employment. Fear of dying. Okay. Yes. Oh, Brother Keith. Only he can bring such clarity, and thank you for that, Brother Keith. Any others? Gun violence, Rachel? Okay, that's a major fear. Yes. Okay. Fear for your family. Anyone else? Tyler? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Now, you know, it's already been mentioned unemployment, but also fear of not enough money to pay the bills. And so, you know, probably our seniors fear that the most because they're on a fixed income. I'm talking about people over 95, Sister Grace, when we talk about seniors. Private joke. She jumped on to me talking about seniors, you know. So, elderly. I'm sorry, elderly. Well, I should have mentioned elderly. Sister Lindsay. Yes. Yes. Wow. So would you get her name? Sister McBride told me that she was asked by yesterday when she went through a line if why she wasn't buying toilet paper, I'm sorry. Okay, anybody else? All right, now let's spend just a little bit of time on this because I feel like it's very important. Now we've mentioned modern day fears. We've mentioned things that people fear, and so what is the solution for this? What is the solution for some of these fears? All right. Good answer. All right. How does that work? Perfect love. How does that cast out fear? Okay. And so when you have love for God, God pushes that fear out, right? Okay, any other comments, on overcoming fear? Anybody got any suggestions on how for Brother Jeff to overcome fear of heights? Oh, wow. Well, I tell you what, we have got some first-class people in this church, I'm telling you. I mean, you talk about sharp and cutting edge. Wisdom, yes. Wisdom is justified of her children. I've heard that said somewhere. Any other comments? Any other? Yes. Okay, you know, trust in the Lord. Anybody else? Yes? All right. He will supply. Yes, Brother Lindsay? All right. I would agree with that statement. Yes, I would, Brother Lindsay. I think you're on target. Yes, I do. Amen. And I'm going to mention that just a little bit later in the lesson. Okay, anybody else? Any more input? You know, I read that while I was putting this lesson together. I didn't put that in the notes, but I believe it was David that said that. I was once young, I'm now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. All right, very good. Anybody else? Somebody else like to give us a reason or give us a way to overcome, how we overcome modern day spirits? Yes? Face our fears. Okay, can you expound on that just a little bit? That's very good, Sister Patty. Face our fears. I think it's very necessary for us to admit certain things, don't you? To all right, amen. But when we begin to face up to those things, you know, as a child, I understood that many of the things that I feared were not really real. I mean, as a kid, you know, there's monsters everywhere. I mean, you just know that. If anybody grew up not having monsters, something was wrong with them. But Sam. Okay, there's also, could there be the message that when we take our eyes off of the Lord, then the fears are exploded or maybe it just begin to multiply? Yes? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes there is a I guess instinct maybe or something in us when fear comes forward to run and immediately. But we learn through life that some of the things that we fear, like especially things that we see in the night, when the light shines upon them, they're completely different and there's nothing there. But how often do we do that in our own spirits, that we allow something to begin to work itself on us? And I think that I believe that the biggest thing is when we entertain that. You know, we've got to cast that out. We've got to demand that it goes, because when that is entertained, I don't mean that we say come on in fear, but we begin to allow it to put those icy grips of fear upon us, And certain times, there's been certain times in my ministry that I have been awakened at night, and I'm not a scary type of person. Yeah, I've told you I love to come up here at night and be in the church, and I love to just step outside in the dark and walk around. It's kind of cool to see all of that. So I'm not a scary type person, but there are times there have been times, let me say that I've woke up in an icy fear, just fearful. And I realize that it's demonic. And so immediately you take authority over it. In the name of Jesus, I demand, fear, that you leave me right now. And it has to go, it leaves. So I think one of the things is to realize the power that we have, the miraculous power that can make spirits leave. They can't stay in the presence of God. So in talking about how we combat these modern day spirits, that because there's going to be spirits that attack us and our family that we've not even brought up tonight. We can't mention all of them. We can't. But there's a very simple way that when we begin to be aware of the power that is in us. And sometimes Satan will belittle you and tell you that you have no strength because of something in your life. And generally, it's the new converts that he attacks the most and reminds them of past inconsistencies. But he also reminds us, you know, what right do you have because of this or because of that? Because you didn't do this or you didn't do that. And so at times there's some areas of unfaithfulness that the devil will try to work on us. And perhaps you missed your prayer time. Perhaps you missed your Bible reading, and the devil will magnify that. Well, if you'd have not done that, then this wouldn't have happened to you or whatever. Get behind me, Satan. Satan, you're not allowed to traffic in my life. You're not allowed to bring those things up. And then there are fears that the spirit of fear, and I feel in the Holy Ghost right now I'm dealing with something. There's a spirit of fear that comes up. And church, here, I'm giving you some insight immediately. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Immediately take authority over that fear and demand that it go in the name of Jesus, because you have all power. You have miraculous power in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And so, as we've said before, and as I think Brother Sam and also Brother Lindsay have mentioned this, perfect love casts out fear. Also, remember one of the root words of the spirit of fear mentioned by Paul is faithless. That's part of fear. It's faithless. What is faithless? It's lacking faith, not having faith. You know, and I can see that the most of the times that we would be faithless is that when we're less than what we should have been, when we've not done something that we should have done, when we've not hadn't taken an opportunity that we should have taken, that seems like the devil likes to bombard us with we are faithless. Well, how do you respond to that? You respond in faith. Just begin to believe God. Just say, God, I know who you are. I know what you are to me. I trust in you. You are my help and you are my hope. In you is my everything. Now, so it would seem to me that answer is to push faithless out of our minds, out of our hearts, by using faith, encouraging faith. And I think one of the things and one of the ways to do that is by saying those words, Lord, I trust in you. God, you are my confidence. You are my hope. You are an ever-present help in time of need. God, I love you. I worship you. I praise you. And so the next scripture I want to bring to us has been an inspiration to me for the last several years. I remember reading this several years ago and going through a dark area period of my life. It's found in Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. And it still comes back to me often, and I read this, and it has been a tower of strength for me. Listen to it. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Okay? Now, just for clarity again, we're gonna give the meaning of fear here. It's fright, dread, to be afraid. Fear. Here's what is so inspiring. This is what God said. Okay? Isaiah is writing what God said. God said, hey, don't fear. Don't you fear. Don't you be afraid. Don't let dread come upon you. Why? Because here's what he said. God said, I am with you. Oh, hallelujah. When the Lord of Lords, when the King of Kings tells you, I am with you, you don't need to fear because I'm with you. What's one of the struggles we face? Loneliness? Or not knowing maybe if God's going to be there for us, right? You know, uncertainty. I'm not sure. Why would God do this for me? Why would God step in? But God said, don't fear. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. Now, notice this also. It's not just one, but it's several things that come up. God says, I am your God. And he said, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Okay, here it is. How many times does the devil bombard us because we've not exactly been righteous in everything that we've ever done? But God says, don't worry. Your righteousness won't make it, but mine will. And I'll hold you with my righteousness. I'll protect you in the moment that you're less than what you should be. I'll be with you. I'll guide you. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. Praise the Lord. Over and over, the Lord speaks to us. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do y'all believe that? If you believe that, we don't have to worry about fear. If we believe that, our confidence is in Jesus Christ, that he'd never leave us, never forsake us. He'll be there for us. He'll help us. In Psalms 34 and verse 4, the psalmist said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. So, what's the secret here? Seeking the Lord. To seek the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me. You know, many times backsliders, people that once knew God that's been away from the Lord for a long time, they feel like that there's no way God will hear them. There's no way that God will answer them. There's no way God would step in. And they fear that because of what they've done, that God no longer cares for them. Where does that spirit come from? The devil. It's demonic spirit. He's a liar, the Word of God tells. The Word of God says he's the father of all liars. So we know if the devil's speaking, it's a lie. You can just pretty well take it to the bank. If he's talking to you about something, it's either misspoken, there's something out of context, or it's an outright lie. You can just figure that. But but seeking the Lord confronts and overcomes fear. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. I've told different ones that have come, and they have expressed to me that because of what they've done in their past, that God would no longer hear them, or simply because it's sometime God pleaded with them. They felt God's presence, and they felt God speaking to them, but they shunned him. They turned away from what he would say. And so, seeking the Lord, I want to read another Psalms, in Psalms 56 and verse number 3. It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Another secret found in God's word to overcome is trusting in the Lord. I think Brother Lindsay mentioned it just a little bit ago. But isn't it amazing that over and over and over you can find in the Psalms many scriptures like this that tell us. And Brother Larson had mentioned that you just take the Bible and you begin to read the Bible and you use the Word of God, because it's in there over and over, the ways that God has for us to escape, the ways that God has for us to become overcomers. And so as we look at this, let me kind of paraphrase it. The psalmist says, when I'm afraid, when I don't know what to do, I will trust in the Lord. And now I hope you do what we do. Many, many times there's a phone call and it's desperation on the other end of the line. Somebody's having some problems. Somebody's relatives are having problems. There's sickness, there's disease, there's all sorts of stuff that people are in trouble with. And every time we get a phone call, my wife and I, we join hands, or we just join together in prayer and pray for them immediately to intercede. How many times have we in our family that we have had family get-togethers and a phone call comes and we stop what we're doing and begin to pray because somebody is in need, somebody is in a bind. And so understand this. We have each other and we have one another, but whenever I'm afraid, whenever I begin to fear, that we must make ourselves trust in the Lord. Sometimes that's extremely hard to do because I need it right now. We're thinking, I need an answer right now. But you know, even that many times is deceptive because you find out it's not really right now. You find out, you know, and I've had people say, well, Pastor, it's now too late. And you find out it's not too late later. You find out that you just thought it was. Because I believe that prayer changes everything. I believe that when we pray, anything can happen. I believe right now there are things set in order that prayer has set. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Prayer has set in order certain things in your life. Prayer has set that in order. And it's inevitable. It's going to come to pass. It's right down the road from you. But in our trouble, we lose sight of that. And we begin to trust in other things and not so much in the Lord. But the secret is that we must make ourselves trust. How can we make ourselves trust? Anybody? Anybody have any special insight? How do we make ourselves trust? Practice, okay. Brother Sam? Okay. All right. Pray. Prayer. Didn't we just say a few minutes ago that prayer changes things? Pray. And then when we pray, leave it in God's hands. No, and how many times do we pray and we say, God, I leave it in your hands, and immediately before we even leave, we grab it back. Sister Mac. Okay. All right, praying the Word. Very powerful, praying the Word. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Overcoming fear. The lesson, overcoming fear. To overcome that fear. To leave it in God's hands. Let me bring another scripture to you, another found in Psalms. Now, remember Psalms 34 and verse number 4. I just read it a minute ago. It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. Okay, just a little bit down in those verses. That was verse number 4. In verse number 19 of Psalms 34, it says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So, what are afflictions? Well, just for your sake, I looked that up too. It's adversity, calamity, distress, grief, hurt, harm, sorrow, trouble. And it could probably go on and on and on and on. When it talks about afflictions, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's not just talking about they're getting sick, but they're faced with calamity. They're faced with trouble. They're faced with things that they don't know what to do or how to do. You know, as a child of God, we've never really been trained how to adjust to affliction, trouble. Oh, yes, we have. We've been trained over and over. When we hear the Word of God, that we're trained to start with. We're trained to overcome. We're trained to go beyond these calamities, go beyond this trouble, go beyond these things. And it says here, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of part of them. A few of them. You know, what I like for you to do is I kind of keep going that way. You're supposed to get bolder and bolder and bolder and argue even more vehemently with me. But God delivers out of them all. So, okay, the coronavirus is sweeping across the world. They tell me it is some sort of, what is it, the words, Pastor Jason? Respiratory illness. I heard some commentator or something mention it was pneumonia. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said. and so there's the fear of that. The stock market just dropped 14 points today. That almost devastated me. Yes, Brother Larson. Yes. You know, there's a lot of fear going on in our world, and I just feel that this is another one of them that's cropping up. And But when we begin to understand that God has been with us all this time, that God is with us, God is helping us. Now, at times, we may need to use some wisdom. We may need to use some carefulness. That's not saying we fall into fear, but you know, we need to be wise in everything that we do. But understand, let's allow for the presence of God to move. Let's overcome fear with our faith. Let's overcome fear with our trust in the Lord. Let's overcome fear with the love for God. And let's pray the word. Let's read the word. Let's speak the word. And let's let God be God and the most powerful thing in our life. Fear thou not. I want to read Isaiah 41 and 10 again. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not. Praise God. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Why? I've overcome the world. Thank you, Sister Grace. He's overcome the world. He's our example. He's our mediator. He's our help and our hope. There's power in the name of Jesus. Why don't we stand? Let's, you know, in this time, and not just coronavirus, but there's all sorts of stuff going around. There's all sorts of flu and all sorts of different junk. Let's just pray a protection upon our families, and not only that, but the internet and all of this stuff that can infect the kids and adults and everybody. Let's pull rank on the devil right now. Could we pray in the name of